Well, guys, I'm finishing our series, The Pursuit of Healthiness. It's been a... Give me a wave. Who's loved this series? Hasn't it been practical? Hasn't it been powerful in our lives? And we've discussed financial health, relationship health last week. We've talked about spiritual health. And tonight I have the privilege of bringing us home talking about emotional health. And I'd love just to remind us of our key verse. I hope this is written on your heart after this series. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. The Apostle John writes to the church, he says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper." Everyone say prosper. "In all things." Everyone say all. How good is that? God doesn't want you and I to prosper in some things. He doesn't want you and I to prosper in one thing. He wants us to prosper in all things. Come on, Christians should be the most blessed people in all the earth, because God in heaven, our Father, who is greater than any other power, who the earth is His and the fullness thereof, He wants to bless you and I. And when His blessing comes on us, it flows into every area of our life. He wants you and I to prosper in our soul. And it goes on to say, and all things, and be in health just as your soul prospers. God's heart is that you and I would prosper in our soul, in our emotional world. He does not want you and I to be bound or struggle with anxiety. If you wrestle with anxiety, can I tell you that is not God's will for your life? If you wrestle with depression or feelings of hopelessness, can I encourage you? That is not God's will for your life. And yes, we all have predispositions and we go through seasons and there might be genetic factors, et cetera, et cetera. But I know that if you're struggling with any of those areas, which I personally have many times, it will not last forever. It's not His will. It will change and shift in Jesus' name. And so today I want to really share a part of my story. I remember about 8 years ago to this date, I was on the Gold Coast for a conference, and we had a great conference. It was actually the conference a lot of our team were just at this week, and I'll just never forget. It was a powerful moment where Pastor John and Dan led the conference at the time. They asked Ebony and I up to the stage, and they asked us to pray in front of hundreds of pastors about the next generation of Australia. And it was like a significant moment for us. We really felt, I just remember we got up and we just prophesied, and it was awesome. Felt so powerful. And I just remember feeling like that was a next step moment for us, babe. This was like when we were just married a year. And we go home to our hotel after conference, go to sleep, life's as normal. And all of a sudden, I wake up in the middle of the night around 2 a.m. with an intense pain in my chest. And it was, I've never felt anything like it before. It was just right in my chest, this intense pain. And my muscles like were spasming in my chest. Ebony, I'm like, "Ebony, what's going on?" And she put her hand there and my whole body was trembling. And I woke up with one thought in my mind: you are about to die. And I absolutely, as you can imagine, I absolutely panicked. I'm yelling at Ebony to call an ambulance. I was absolutely convinced I was having a heart attack, and it just was an awful moment where I was absolutely out of control, panicking, fear, and anxiety. And we went to the hospital, and the long story short is it came back that it wasn't a heart attack and didn't know what it was. But looking back now, with what I know now, it began a journey for me for about the next 12 to 18 months where I suffered panic attacks out of nowhere. And what was even stranger about this season is so many of those panic attacks would happen in the middle of the night. I'd literally wake up to my body having an anxiety attack. And it was quite a challenging season, as I'm sure you can imagine. It was very tough for a while. We were newly married, had so much going on in our world, and on the background was this thing that I was terrified of. And I don't know if you've ever had a panic attack, but for me what it looked like was pain in my chest, a feeling of a tight chest, my brain would start running out of control and fear would just take a grip of me. Lies would run wild in my head and all these awful thoughts and things would happen in my mind. My breathing would get incredibly rapid and it felt like sometimes my throat was closing up. I promise this message is going to get a bit more encouraging. Your faces are like... But I hope this is encouraging because I know some people in this room have had them and you're not alone if you have. I'd get pins and needles throughout my limbs and sometimes I'd go numb and ultimately I'd just get to a point where I would just have to lie in a dark room and weep until the moment passed. And so for me, anxiety became quite a battle. And if I'm honest with you, it's a chink in my armor. It's something that can come against me. And I'm about 30 years old. I've had 3 separate bouts with anxiety and feeling quite anxious and struggling with panic attacks. It was so real. But what I want to encourage us is that in my life, even though I've wrestled with anxiety, I've wrestled with moments where my emotional health was really in quite a tough place. I have seen so many victories over it through God. And I stand here today going, hey, I've fought that a few times. I've gone into it and through it. But I believe that my life's a testimony today that God has got me through. And that's why I share today that there is hope if you struggle with anxiety or depression. It will not last forever. You are not alone. You are not crazy. And this will pass. Amen? Because God is on our side. God wants us to prosper in our emotional health, but we are responsible for the state of our own soul. Tonight, before I pray for a few people and we encounter God, I just want to share 3 things that from my journey around emotional health that I've learned. Because as I shared, that began a journey for me seeing a Christian psychologist and counselor. It began a journey of me digging into the Word of God and learning about our soul and emotional health. It began a journey of me being honest, on having authentic relationships with my spiritual leaders and friends and family members. And I hope today will encourage people here. Because what I've come to discover is no one is immune to our emotional health. What qualifies us is that we have a soul. And every one of us have a soul. And so we will go through seasons where our emotional health is going awesome and other seasons where we're struggling a little bit. No one is immune. In fact, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see our heroes of the faith wrestling with emotional and mental health challenges. Elijah struggled with depression and suicidal thoughts. Moses struggled with anxiety and experienced a burnout. David, all throughout his life, the greatest king that's ever lived, David struggled with depression and anxiety from beginning to end of his world. Paul said in one passage of scripture, he was so overwhelmed by pressure, he despaired of life itself. And Jesus himself, our precious Lord and Savior, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was so overwhelmed in his soul, the Bible says, that he was begging God to take this cup from him, and he was sweating like drops of blood. So if you find yourself tonight in a place where you're struggling a little bit in your soul, you're in good company, friend. Depression and anxiety are not a sign of spiritual failure, but a signal that something needs attention. And so if we're struggling with it, it's not a sign of failure. It's okay. It's a warning bell going off that something needs attention. So just really quickly, what can cause and reap havoc on our emotional world? And there are 101 things, but I guess some big ones can definitely be life imbalance. When we are constantly overcommitting or life is just too busy and where our brain is everywhere. It can be comparison. That can drain our soul of life like nothing else. And that is particularly hard in a social media generation. Isolation is such a challenging place to be, and that can drain our soul of life and energy. Ruminating thoughts. Have you ever just had a negative self-talk that goes around and around and around? That can drain our soul. Spiritual warfare can drain our soul. When we're coming against something and breaking through, that can be draining. And unmet expectations, relational tension, financial pressure, all of these things can drain us in our soul. And I want to look today at the life of a great man in the Bible named Elijah, because he went through this amazing journey, and I want us to observe what God did in his life to help him. And so you're ready for that? Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm ready. Turn to the other person and say, let's do the deep work. Let's do the deep work. Woo! You ready to go? It's quiet in church tonight. Hey, this is going to be good. So the context of this story, 1 Kings chapter 18, read it at home. Elijah just had the greatest moment of his life, okay? Elijah literally just 1v400, 400 prophets of Baal, which was a demonic spirit. And he literally just got an incredible victory for Israel, God's people. Elijah literally just prayed in front of everyone, and a fire came from heaven and jumped down to earth. Now, who thinks that's pretty cool? Woo! He then went on, and there'd be a drought in the nation of Israel for over 3 years. Elijah gets on his knees, he prays to the Lord, and then rain comes for the first time in 3 years. So Elijah has this amazing moment in 1 Kings chapter 18. But then we turn the page in our Bible and we get to 1 Kings chapter 19. And that's where the story is we're going to look into tonight. I talked this morning about how there was an evil woman named Jezebel. And basically she sent a message to Elijah saying that she was going to organize to have him killed. Elijah then runs for his life. He's terrified. He isolates himself. He leaves behind his servant, and he goes all the way into the wilderness by himself. And that's where we're going to pick up 1 Kings 19 verse 9. Let's have a quick look at this together. There he went into the cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" We're going to come back to that. He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Can you feel like a man in desperation in that moment? He's crying out to God. It goes on, and the Lord said, "Go and stand on the mountain in the presence of God, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart. And we'll go on, that God was not in the wind. There was an earthquake, he wasn't in the earthquake. There was a fire, and God was not in the fire. But if we read from verse 13, there was a gentle whisper. I've discovered in my life, God feels the closest in the darkest moments of our life. Elijah felt the whisper of God. What is a whisper? It means that God was close enough that he could hear his whisper in the darkest moment of his world. Isn't this amazing? It goes on and he says, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave, and a voice said again, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He then replied the exact same reply. "I've been very zealous for the Lord our God, and Israel's rejected our covenant, torn down your altars." And then verse 15, the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus." And then he gives him instructions. "When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel. And anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel to succeed you as prophet." This is such an amazing passage of scripture where Elijah found himself in a cave of depression. And I talked this morning how he literally was so depressed, he begged God to take his own life. Who knows, that's quite a bad day for our emotional health. But that's where Elijah found himself. And I talked this morning about 6 things we can learn. I encourage everyone to go back and listen to the podcast this morning. I spoke about this morning, we need to focus on holistic health. That our emotional health will flow out of our physical health and our spiritual health. That God brought an answer to Elijah's life through letting him have a nap, giving him some food. Give me a wave. Who had a good nap today after morning church? Yep. Did you get KFC, Josh and Shekinah? Oh, you got kebabs. That's just as good. And also our soul is linked to our spiritual health. I talked about having authentic relationships. See, Elijah made a fatal mistake. He left his servant behind and he did this journey alone and isolated. And we talked about how the enemy always works best when we're isolated and alone. And to focus on rest and having a Sabbath is so important. But here tonight, I'm going to talk about three different things, and I pray that this is encouraging. Are you ready? All right, number one, deal with what is underneath. I want to encourage you, write that down. Deal with what is underneath. Going back to verse 13, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave, and the voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I just want you to think about this a moment. So Elijah had literally just walked 40 days. Does anyone else get tired walking for like 1 hour up Mount Coolum? Woo, this guy just walked 40 days, okay? And he's desperate. And he comes to this place and he's talking to the God who knows everything, right? And he's there and he's like, all right, this is going to change my life. And then he just says this simple thing, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Can you imagine what he would have been thinking? Like, God, what a stupid question. You know why I'm here. Why are you asking that? And it's so interesting that what he didn't say, he just asked him, "Why are you here?" But what I believe is that question was not so much for God's benefit, it was for Elijah's benefit. What are you doing here, Elijah? Another way you could have worded that question is, why are you so depressed, Elijah? Why is your soul and emotional health in such a bad place? What is underneath what is going on right now in your life? See, I found that, as I shared earlier, depression and anxiety is a signal that something needs attention. And there was something going off in Elijah's heart that maybe he didn't know yet, and God was trying to draw it out. Because for Elijah, we can see in his response to God that there was a deep disappointment in his heart. See, he thought after he had just defeated the 400 prophets of Baal that there would be a revival and the nation of Israel would turn to God. But they didn't. He was deeply disappointed. He had an unmet expectation. God, I thought if I would serve you, my life, like, what do you mean someone's threatening to kill me? Like, he just would have been like, how am I here? He had a wrong belief about reality and a lot of fear and intimidation. What are you doing here, Elijah? See, depression and anxiety are actually a fruit and not a root. The problem isn't the problem, but what is underneath the problem. A great way I've heard it said is, imagine that anxiety or depression or hopelessness or any emotion, negative emotion is, what is underneath that? I want you to picture like a rock. What is underneath the rock of anxiety? What is underneath the rock of that feeling of hopelessness? What is the root to this fruit? And the Bible teaches us to protect our heart with all diligence because out of it will flow the issues of life. And so we've got to be careful what we let into our heart. Elijah let a deep, deep disappointment into his heart, and he let a deep fear and intimidation into his heart, which led to this feeling of depression. See, it was a warning alarm that there is something not well within my soul. And the journey we need to go on is exploring with the Holy Spirit, where is this coming from in me? So after these panic attacks, I met a great Christian psychologist. And I'll never forget sitting across from him one day and he's asking me questions. And really, he just kept digging, he kept digging, he kept digging. And I had this moment, it was like the aha moment in my life of what was actually underneath this anxiety I was feeling. And he asked me all these questions and the Holy Spirit just had this moment where underneath it for me was a deep fear of rejection. There was a feeling on the inside of me of not being good enough. There was a tendency in me to put so much pressure on myself out of a need for approval and love of others and God, which led to some perfectionism. And I'll just never forget, I sat there and it's like the Holy Spirit just brought the scales off my eyes and I could see. Okay, so my battle is not actually anxiety. That's there and I've got to deal with that. But my anxiety is letting God into this fear in my life and getting freedom and healing. I'd love to ask you, what is it in your heart that could cause anxiety or depression. What is it in your life? What's the lie that is underneath so much of the pressure and the pain that you feel? And the good news is we read in Isaiah 61 what I would call Jesus's role description. It was a prophecy about the Savior. And let's read this scripture together. This is about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort. Another translation says to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. See, Jesus' role in your life and my life is to bring freedom and to bring healing. But he can only heal where we let him in. We have to invite him into our deepest fears. We have to invite him into our darkest moments. We have to invite him into our unprocessed trauma. We have to invite him in to what is really underneath. But the good news is this, as we invite him in, as challenging as it can be, what does he do? He brings true freedom and true healing. And as you and I have the courage to face the root of what is going on in our heart, what I found in my life, as I begin to work on overcoming this fear of rejection, I just found that the fruit of anxiety began to evaporate from my life. And so I hope that encourages here today. And one last key, if you just feel stuck, find a great godly Christian psychologist or counselor. You can talk to Pastor Josh or Teresa. We have some we can recommend. That was a huge key in my life. Where do you need healing and freedom in your heart? Number one, we talked about what's underneath. Deal with what's underneath. Number two, I want to quickly talk about processing negative emotion. Jeez, did you guys think coming to church tonight we're going to do some deep work? I promise it'll help at the end. Woo! All right, verse 14. What did he reply? I've been zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. What was amazing here, as I said earlier, the question wasn't for God, it was for Elijah. What came out of his heart was actually the truth about what was going on in his heart. And I shared earlier, it was a 40-day journey. I imagine on those 40 days, Elijah did a lot of reflecting, a lot of processing. And really what I see in this story is he came to a revelation and a place where he knew actually what was going on in his heart. He felt exhausted. He felt fear and anxiety. He felt hopeless. He felt isolated and alone. He had self-pity. But his healing only came when he had the courage to actually name what was going on in his heart and give it to God. Craig Rochelle says, you cannot defeat what you do not define. We can't get freedom and healing from something we actually aren't aware of. Awareness is so important. We need to put a name to what we're facing. And my psychologist said this line to me. He said, the only way to get through your pain is to go into your pain. Pretending it isn't there, unfortunately, doesn't work, even though it feels a lot better, right? Have you ever heard that expression of just shove it under the rug? So many of us, and I'm talking about myself, when something negative happens in our life, maybe we feel betrayed or we feel hurt. Maybe we had a mum or a dad who wasn't there for us how we'd hoped. Maybe someone said something at work that just broke our heart. Maybe we're disappointed about how life's going or where we are. These things happen in life to all of us. And the important thing is not that we shove it under the rug and go, oh, that's an interesting emotion, pretend it's not there. We actually need to deal with it. We need to deal with it. We need to process it with God. We need to have the courage to face our inner pain, our inner fears, our past hurts, and our traumatic moments in life. Because it's only on the other side of that courage that you and I will experience true freedom and healing. Elijah named it, and with the help of God, he got freedom from it. And here's the thing. This can look different for everyone. We've got to find what works for us. for some people, let me share some examples. It's having a trusted friend, family member, or leader, and you just talk it out. You just need to get in that place and process, you know, what's that verbal processing? You just talk and talk and talk. For others, it's debriefing with friends, just debriefing and sharing. With others, as I shared, a key can be talking to a professional. But do you know what I found to be the most helpful in my life is actually the habit of journaling, writing out, and just, it's hard for me, but it's so helpful for me. And I'm not talking about, dear diary, Ebony's so cute, she kissed me today, I'm not talking about that kind of journaling, okay? I'm talking about actually journaling to God the reality of things happening in our heart and our life. And I have discovered as I write it out, it's almost like I'm processing. I've found a way for my soul to process what's going on. Just a little tool you can use when journaling, 5 steps. Acknowledge or write down the feeling. I am feeling betrayed. I am feeling hurt. I am feeling angry, whatever it is. Acknowledge the fear. I fear right now that nobody loves me. I fear right now that I'm losing control of my future, whatever it is. Write down the need. I need to feel loved in this moment. I need to feel secure. Write down the belief. I actually believe that no one loves me. This is what Elijah said. There's no one else, God. Like, that was his belief. But then end with the truth. And if Elijah had done that, God actually goes on to say there were 7,000 other prophets. It wasn't the truth. But when we're in that cave of pain, we can believe things that aren't true. But in all of this, as we're processing what's going on in our life, can I share the most awesome scripture? 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all of your cares, another translation, burdens, another translation, anxieties, cast all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. And in our processing, what we're doing is actually something more spiritual than we might first believe. We're bringing it up to then cast it on the Lord. It comes off us and onto him. I hope that helps. And number 3, as I finish, is focus on purpose. I might invite the band up. See, what's so interesting is this story doesn't end with God saying, all right, Elijah, it's been a tough few weeks. Why don't you go have a spa day, get a massage? What are girls do? Get your nails done. Like, it doesn't say, hey, go have a holiday. Go, like, what does God actually do? God actually gives Elijah fresh purpose, fresh vision, and a job to do. One of the biggest mistakes you and I can make when we're struggling in our soul and our emotions is to pull back from the purpose of God on our life. But in fact, what did God do with Elijah? He gave him fresh purpose. He recommissioned him. And God assigns Elijah new tasks, reigniting his purpose. Purpose is an antidote to emotional pain and struggling. Purpose is a place of healing as we're struggling in our life. I love this quote, "The place of your deepest pain can become the platform of your greatest ministry." God turned Elijah's pain into purpose. The Bible says God turns all things together for good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. What Elijah thought was the darkest season of his life actually turned into one of the most powerful moments in his calling. And from that place, he gets sent to anoint the new king for the future, but not just that, to find Elisha that became his successor and continued his life's legacy as Elijah died and went to heaven. Perhaps if he hadn't gone into the cave, that moment of purpose wouldn't have come. And I remember for me that whole time I was battling that those seasons of anxiety. Of course, I had to be wise and I made wise decisions. I wasn't a season to run hard, but can I tell you, the honest truth is, as tempting as it was, I never pulled back from my purpose. I kept showing up to church. I kept preaching the word of God. I kept loving on people. I kept being the best husband I could be and the best dad I could be. I kept moving forward on the call of God. And I believe that if I had stopped in the cave, if I had sat down in the cave, I'd probably still be in the cave today. God has a purpose for you and I, and never let the cave stop it. last verse, then we're going to stand. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Talking about God. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God gives us. Like, if you think about this, it is mind-blowing that the same supernatural comfort that the Lord gives you and I in our cave seasons, we then have an anointing and an authority to release that comfort into others' lives. And we can help get other people out of the cave. And that is part of our own personal freedom and healing. So here tonight, I want to ask you, I know tonight's been a little bit deeper than normal. I know tonight I can feel God speaking to hearts, but as I close this message, can I ask us, what is the Holy Spirit inviting you and I into as a next step to grow in our emotional health? Maybe for some of us it is to go on a journey of understanding what's really going on underneath, what's happening in my heart. Maybe for some of us it is to carve out some time to process some of the negative emotions and pains that are happening in our world. Maybe even to see a pastor or a Christian counselor. Or maybe for others, you've sat down in the cave. You've pulled back from the call of God on your life because of your season of pain and struggle. And I believe that today God's reminding you, just as he reminded Elijah in the middle of that cave, get up, my son, go again. The call of God is on your life and you need to just keep walking, because if you are only stuck if you stop. Amen? Can we stand to our feet? Why don't you just reach out to the Lord here? We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you here in this place. We welcome you here in this place. Lord, I pray right now over every single heart, every person, every individual. Lord, you know their story. You know where they are. You know what's going on. And I ask, by the great power of your Holy Spirit, that you would minister to every individual in this very moment in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, Lord, highlighting the next step, bringing a fresh word and a fresh encounter. In a moment, I'm going to open the altar, but